The Lord be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There are so many things that we're having to deal with at the moment, but there are still more glorious things about our lives, the blessings which surround us, the accumulated memories of love and of joy and of happy times. So let us start our praise today by singing a great shout of praise, all creatures of our God and King.
Psalm 19, verses 7 to the end. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just, and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded for obeying them. No one can see his own errors. Deliver me, Lord, from hidden faults. Keep me safe also from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my Redeemer.
This wonderful, wonderful description of the law given to Israel. For the Israelites, their law was almost divine. Well, it had come from God, and their keeping to the law was to walk in the presence of God. And that beautiful psalm, read beautifully for us, explains that their great joy in that law. And it was an extraordinary thing. There were, 3,000 years ago, a people that had in their very structure of their society a regular relief of debt, a protection for the land so that it could lie fallow every 7 years to rejuvenate. It had built into it a protection for the alien, the stranger, if you like, the asylum seeker who had come in amongst their people, and it sought the welfare of the widow and the orphans. A little bit later on, we're going to hear about Jesus's frustration and anger with the exploitation of that law and its misuse. And I wonder how it came about. Was it possible that they had a Home Secretary that had ideas of shunting out asylum seekers to a wild, uninhabited island in the Atlantic? Was it possible that they had a situation where the government needed to cut back its expenditure, and so child poverty rose exponentially in a matter of just a few years? Was it because they began to ignore the rule about leaving the land in the seventh year and farmed it instead within an inch of its life? Did they begin to think it was all right for young people to acquire a lifetime's worth of debt in the first 3 years of setting out from home? Or was it that the people grew complacent, that they failed to see that actually they were following and drifting towards other gods? Deliver me from my hidden faults. Was it that they began to use the excuse that people in power were behaving worse than them, and that allowed a kind of casualness to develop in their relationship to the law? Did they begin to use the law actually as a kind of class structure, patterns of behaviour, of cleanliness and observance to the letter of the law rather than its spirit, in a way that would allow them to judge others rather than to embrace them as part of an equal society? Was it that they enjoyed the wonderful benefits of being able to import things, as we know they did from Egypt, from a country where slave labour was used, or possibly cotton clothing from the work camps in China? Oh my goodness, what a lot we have to ask God's forgiveness for. Let us take a moment to bring before him those things of which we are ashamed. And we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw you to himself and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us use our next hymn as an opportunity to recognise all that we are given as followers of Christ and feel encouraged and bestirred to do better.
A reading from Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable, Jesus said. There was once a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he let out the vineyard to tenants and went on a journey. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves to the tenants to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "Surely they will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him and we will get his property." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Jesus asked. "He will certainly kill those evil men," they answered, and let the vineyard out to other tenants, who will give him his share of the harvest at the right time. Jesus said to them, Haven't you ever read what the scriptures say? The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And so I tell you, added Jesus, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce the proper fruits. The chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables and knew that he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds, who considered Jesus to be a prophet.
I think in a way I have already preached to this gospel reading in our introduction to the confession. We are not in a position to stand alongside Jesus in judgment of the Pharisees, neither we nor our country. But we might say this is a very particular conversation at a particular moment in Jesus's relationship with the church of his day. And it doesn't really have anything to do with us because we have not rejected Jesus. He is our strength, our cornerstone. He is our Lord. And we might well mean that. But you know, whenever we say Jesus is Lord, we always have to double check the integrity of our words. Remember Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The fact is, Jesus is looking not for words, but for fruits, good fruits, a returning to God of the harvest given. And because the two commandments, love God and love your neighbour, are like unto one another, that nearly always means our service to others. Now, I'm not being horrid and saying that you do not do what Jesus tells us to. For a start, I don't know who is listening. Could be all kinds of saints who share our worship. And also, I have seen your gifts offered at Harvest and have been feeling a little bit smug about the kindness and generosity of my flock, of my flocks. And I have every confidence that that generosity will continue over the coming months, as we know unemployment will rise and so on. But particular times called for a renewed checking about the needs of those immediately around us. Jesus, by laying bare in his parable the trajectory the Pharisees were on, offers them a choice about whether they will follow it or not. He gave them what they needed at that time. Sometimes we don't like our medicine. Sometimes we refuse it or ignore it. The present needs of our communities, Morley, Smalley and Bredsall, are of a different order. As we stand on our watchtower and look around us, we can see that we are facing extremely uncertain times, an autumn and winter that will very likely hold further restrictions, and they will increase loneliness and possibly depression. More nationally, deaths from COVID, which will increase fearfulness, and in the worst case, the loss of people we love, much grief. There is also amongst us an awareness of financial threat, and particularly for young people, futures completely blurred. I'm not painting a dark picture for the fun of it. I'm only saying what we all know. And one of the important things that we need, each of us and all the people we know, and indeed don't know in our communities, is to look after and build our mental health, build our resilience for now and for what is to come. Bishop Libby's Harvest Appeal is aimed at addressing just this. She hopes to raise £15,000 to help Derbyshire Mine deliver a range of community wellbeing courses and activities as part of its Enjoying Derbyshire project. I think it's called Peace of Mind. Although she is asking for funds, I think actually she's asking for more. In fact, I know she is. She is asking that we ourselves do what we can to look to the mental well-being of those around us and to take seriously our own. Let me say clearly, this is not about being fine. Anxiety and distress in the face of COVID is extremely natural, and for the most part, it is unhelpful at this time to be all stiff upper lippy and projecting an I am coping marvellously front. It is okay not to be okay, and that is the first thing we can do, to be open with one another about how we are. There is a humility required of us in this, acknowledging that whilst we face the same storm, as the phrase goes, each of us is in a different boat. Each will experience and respond differently. But you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. Do you remember the five ways of well-being? To connect, to be active, to learn, to notice, and to give. They stand very well still and are so applicable at this time. To connect, to stay in touch, to make sure that people are not left alone without anyone to speak to for a week. To be active, to make sure that you have some exercise every day and during the day, not to sit and sit for hours at a time without getting up. There are things that you can do in the house if you're unable to get outside. Be active. And to learn, such an opportunity to learn at the moment, to dust up on that language that's become a little bit rusty, to settle down with a book about something new and strange like the inside workings of trees or engines or whatever it is. And actually all of you could learn how to cook in a vegan way, maybe. To notice. I think that is about being present in the moment, a bit of a catchphrase. But there's a really useful technique to stop the churning of our thoughts. It goes round and round and stops us appreciating what is actually the reality of each moment. The useful technique that was offered was to pause and to think of what each of your five senses is telling you. To just go through them gently. What are you seeing? What are you smelling? What are you feeling? And so on. It's a way of quieting ourselves and helping us escape from some of the anxiety and fear that tumbles over and over. And finally, to give. All of you Christians will know that to do a good deed is something that lifts the spirit. So, connect, be active, learn, notice, and give. So these are all things that we can do. And what I want us to think about, as well as doing them for ourselves, is to think about how we might provide others with that opportunity, or the opportunity for each of these. We may have to be a little creative at times, given the restrictions, but I know how creative you are. Will you ponder the five ways, both for yourself and for others around us? And if you can think of things that we might collectively do, engaging with others in those five ways, let me know. Jesus knew mental well-being was important. Otherwise, he would not have offered us his peace. He would not have spoken of life in its fullness. As Christians, we do not suddenly become superhuman and able to cope. We are given great gifts in our faith, but we would be treading the path of presumptuous sin if we were to ignore the good advice about our own well-being, to take our needed medicine, as it were. And we will miss an opportunity of returning God's harvest to him if we do not encourage and find ways of supporting others too at this time. Bishop Libby is praying for all our endeavours. St. Francis's prayer is one many of us are familiar with. Let us use this setting by John Rutter to lead us into our intercessions.
Lord, take me and with thee. Let us pray. As we gather in our own separate places, Lord, we pray for all members of our church communities, whether we have seen or spoken to them recently or not. We pray for those we know well and those we know less well. We pray especially for those who may be lonely, struggling, or feeling isolated. We thank you for the love, compassion, and care shown within our church family during this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our world. As we look around, it is easy to see only distress, discord, and conflict. As we still the noise of judgment, outrage, or dismay, guide us to glimpse the kingdom of heaven in the love, compassion, and resilience amongst the pain, and to discover those loving and compassionate parts of ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, comfort with us those who are sick or troubled in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for all those who care for them, especially those who work in our hospitals and care homes, offering support to those most in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who have recently departed from this life. Jerry Houghton, Doreen Dawes, John Shepherd. Comfort their families and friends and enfold them in your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide us, Lord, to be wise stewards in your world of those things for which we are temporarily responsible. We know that we are simply passing through and that everything we call our own is already yours. Help us to share wisely and generously. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we bring all our prayers together in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So, the task is given to us to be honest about how we are, and gentle and humble as we hear how others are, to connect, to be active, to learn, to notice and be present in the moment, and to give. And finally, to think about how we can provide opportunities for others so that they may also build their mental well-being, their mental health. Shall we receive God's blessing? God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. But of course, we do all this in the presence of our Lord, who walks beside us, guides us, encourages us and challenges us. Let us finish with our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision.